This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Washington Wizards are 3-8 on the season. Not a very good start. After having brought in Russell Westbrook, expecting big things, not only have they struggled, but then Thomas Bryant went down with an ACL tear. He's going to be out this season. And we don't know when the Washington Wizards will be back on the court. They've had COVID-19 problems. They've missed a bunch of games. And the next game that we were expecting to see them play, which would have been tomorrow night against the Hornets, that one is on the shelf. They're still trying to get back on the practice court. Friday is the earliest that we could possibly see the Washington Wizards return to the court if we see them play at all this week. Meanwhile, up the road in Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving, he finally joined the Nets, joining the team that traded for James Harden, saying that he just needed a pause. Understandable. I mean, it's been a very, very long NBA season. We're glad that Kyrie Irving has gotten the rest that he needed, and he's back with the team. Meanwhile, baseball, the Washington Nationals, they made news by adding another one-year deal. John Lester, a guy with 5 All-Star appearances, 3 World Series championships, a no-hitter in 2008, NL wins leader in 2018, he's going to be joining the team for 1 year. At the very least, he joins Kyle Schwarber. And of course, Davey Martinez, the current Nat skipper, he was the bench manager in Chicago when they won the World Series. From the Crop Metcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Tomas Duckworth on the home of Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
Let's go. It's the 5 at 5 with Grant and Danny.
Counting down in the city.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Presented by Wave Soda.
Best 15 minutes in radio anywhere, the 5 at 5. Make sure you're here each and every day at this time. Get you up to speed on everything you may have missed during the day at the office. Let's start with our friend Britt Giroli, who was on the show earlier today to talk about the John Lester acquisition. She gave us her thoughts.
I think it's a good move because, you know, there's that old saying that there's never a bad one-year deal, and I think that's the case here, where the Nationals needed starting pitching depth. And obviously, Lester isn't in the prime of his career anymore, right? But you kind of know what you're going to get. He fits the clubhouse veteran type of guy that we know Mike Rizzo really likes. And there's plenty of incentives built in for him to hit certain milestones. So to me, I like this deal. I think what it does and what I really like is it pushes down the rest of those guys where you now have 3 guys, Joe Ross, Eric Fetty, Austin Voth, fighting for one spot, not 2. And to me, that's just huge. It just seems like overall this makes them a stronger starting pitching type of club.
4th starter, John Lester, behind Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin. Lengthens the rotation, and she's right. Now, either Voth or Fetty or Ross is not in the rotation, and one of those guys would have been. So that is a benefit. But, Danny, it's 1 year and it's $5 million, and while it's right, a value grab, and it's an easy deal to sign if you're Washington because you're deferring 3 of the $5 million, which is a pretty stunning thing to think about.
Amazing.
$5 million and you're deferring over half of it. It's just hilarious to me. Having said that, though, they could have gotten a formidable, legitimate middle-of-the-rotation starter, and they have elected not to this offseason. So now you're going with a guy whose velocity has dipped, who's getting barreled a little bit more. Expectations shouldn't be that high for him. He's 37 now.
Yeah, you'll get your money's worth on this one. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I'm at. As you know, you do some shrewd moves where you acquire Josh Bell, you settle kind of for Kyle Schwarber when there were more productive, more consistent bats for your left field spot to kind of fill that void. And it's one of those things, okay, you're saving up for something. And then this is your splurge. as affordable a contract when it comes to the pitching staff. And you're hoping that, you know, a change of scenery will help and maybe you recapture something with Lester's delivery. And I don't think he's going to be in the mid-90s anymore consistently, but, you know, maybe there's more tilt on his curveball, or maybe his changeup becomes more effective, or that cutter gets back to what it was, you know, mid-season 2018 or something to that effect. But I'm with you. I don't think he's going to be terribly effective. You're basically paying to have somebody fill those innings that's not one of your kids, and those guys can kind of battle out for the number five spot slash long relief.
Speaking of 37-year-olds, Max Scherzer is almost 40. He'll be 37 this season as well. He's at the front of the rotation, and he's coming off of a disappointing campaign. ERA over 3 for the first time since 2014 when he was in Detroit. He's got to bounce back. Steven Strasburg was hurt last year, and Patrick Corbin was one of the most hittable arms in all of baseball. He had a huge regression after a magical campaign that helped lead Washington to the World Series. $140 million man in his first year in D.C. So there are questions atop the rotation. Lester's going to have to help out and contribute and eat some innings. From the news on the diamond to the news on the football field, sounds like Washington closing in on Marty Herney as their general manager. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington earlier on our show.
If you were into what happened in 2020, I think the argument is just that that's a continuation of what happened. I don't know that Herney's being brought here to showcase his talent evaluation. I think he's being brought here to run the operation better. And I think, I mean, Ron has talked at length about how much he's liked the drafts and free agency last season. I think by and large, you allow the forces that have done that to continue to operate. Obviously, the wrinkle in all of this can be what happens with Kyle Smith. And I think at this point, it wouldn't be a surprise at all if Kyle is gone.
If he's gone, then a staff that had a really strong offseason gets completely reshuffled. And that'll lead to some questions. But Marty Herney, let's talk about the GM coming in if he does put pen to paper. 15 years that he's credited for from Pro Football Reference, 3 winning seasons, never any back-to-back winning seasons as the general manager in Carolina. I do love the story. Started as a sports writer, got onto the PR staff under Jack Kent Cook here in D.C., worked his way up in the NFL front offices until he was a GM in Carolina. But he was fired by the Panthers 2 times, including most recently in December, when apparently his philosophies did not mesh well with David Tepper's movement toward analytics. I don't love hearing that.
No, nothing about this is exciting. And at best, you can go, well, we trust Ron Rivera. That's not a great endorsement for something. That's not a great reason to be excited. I mean, listen, it's a general manager. It's a front office role. So, you know, how truly excited would fans get? But I would tell you it's probably more than if it was kind of the young hotshot from a winning program, you know, Seattle's number 2, Green Bay's number 2, Tennessee's number 2, whatever it was, right? One of these guys that was in the room and had an intimate hand in drafting this guy, that guy, and the other guy, right? And then look at their record since he took over. He identified this coach, whatever it was, right? This is readily available. The only work he was going to get is right here. You know, it's like basically saying, we are really excited about Mike Shanahan signing Corey Lichtensteiger off his couch. Nobody else was calling Corey Lichtensteiger off his couch. If Mike Shanahan's got a job, so does Lichtensteiger. If Ron Rivera's got a job, it seems like Marty Herney does too. It's hard to be excited about that.
5 at 5, best 15 minutes in radio, and Wave Soda's making it possible. Wave Soda's great, super simple. Just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so you don't have to worry about all those artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now at wavesoda.com and receive 15% off by entering promo code GAND. That's GAND. Boom. Pretty cool. Story number 3, can't wait for this tonight. Let's drop the puck, baby. Caps, Pens, second time, 3 days. Last time these two teams met, went to a shootout. Caps got a loser point with the Penguins taking the shootout.
Sudden death now in the shootout, and Alex Ovechkin moves in for his opportunity to dent DeSmith. He can't. Casey DeSmith holds his ground, and the Penguins have their first victory of this season.
Yeah, that was a kick to the shin in that shootout. But 5 points out of a possible 6 so far for the Caps. Couple of notes tonight on this game. First and foremost, the Penguins are getting Kasperi Kapanen back. He'll be on the top line with Jake Gensel and Sidney Crosby. Their second line remains the same. Zucker, Malkin, and Russ. That's their top 6. As far as the Capitals go, they've changed the forward lines just a little bit in morning skate. Ovechkin, Backstrom, and top line Tom Wilson. Welcome back, baby. Second line will be Jacob Verana, Evgeny Kuznetsov centering. So they're going to tweak some things as they move TJ Oshie down to the third line with Lars Eller. I'll be curious to see how long those lines stay that way. Oshie's been so good, I would have to think they want him on the ice a little bit more than a traditional third liner.
Good news is penalty kill looks pretty effective. Bad news is they've had to be put to the test an awful lot. That really, you know, mostly means to me that's less Kuznetsov on the ice, it's less Ovechkin on the ice. And I want to try to change that, right? I want to get those guys out there for those extra couple of shifts that are spent, you know, chasing the play and, you know, less Carl Hagelin probably and more Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. So that's the big key to me right there is to take less. I'm not saying take no penalties. Part of that comes from being aggressive. We had Tarik Oblashir on earlier talking about that. But stay out of the box a little bit more. I think it'll create more five on five scoring chances.
I'd like to get more power plays, by the way.
Are they allowed? Can you do that?
You're allowed to. It just hadn't happened a whole lot. They had a game where they took five and had to kill off five penalties and didn't have a single power play. In first game of the season, I think they had one power play opportunity. So this is an offense that's going to get goals with a man advantage. Ovechkin in his office, Oshie in the slot, Kuznetsov and Backstrom with their creativity on special teams. But where are those opportunities? You just got to outskate and outwork the Penguins tonight to try to get some of those ops. This is game number four, and it's game number four on the road. They still have not come home. When they do so, there will be no fans, obviously, at Capital One Arena. All right, let's keep it going. The five at five, the five stories, keeping you company throughout the day here on Grant and Danny, in case you missed anything. We told you we wanted to get into this, so we'll crowbar it into the five at five. Robert Griffin III. Being waived by the Baltimore Ravens. This is via Ravens.com, him talking about his stay in Baltimore.
Yeah, 100%. I got a great working relationship with LJ, and, you know, my goal is to be a resource for him. He is his own man. He's a proud individual, and I think everybody can see that. He puts a lot of work into what he does, and all of us do. So my job is to try to help him avoid some of the pitfalls that I, you know, ran into, either self-inflicted or just based off situation. And I think he's already got the jump on me from that standpoint because he's got an organization that's fully behind him from the top to the bottom, from the owner to the GM to the head coach to the coaches in the locker room. Everybody's got his back. And I think that's something that's important for a young quarterback. So my job is to aid in that and continue to help him develop as a passer, continue to develop as a person on and off the field. And, you know, I think I can help him in those ways, but at the same time, continue to do what I have to do as a Baltimore Raven to help this team win games.
How about that shade he threw in there? Yeah, he's got a head start on me because everyone's on the same page and wanting him to succeed. That was something that was interesting, I think, for Washington football fans to hear. But Robert Griffin, 2012 Pro Bowler, one of the great rookie years ever, 20 touchdowns and 5 picks. Obviously, in 2013, the bottom falls out, and it was a real tough year for the team. Not a great year for him. And in 14, it was so ugly he got benched. Didn't play at all in 15 after Kirk Cousins took over. He was in Cleveland in 2016, played in 5 games, then was out of the league in 2017, and has been in Baltimore the last 3 years. They now waive him. Danny, I mean, he's a backup who, when he came into a game against the Steelers this year, looked really, really bad. Threw a pick six, and I mean, it was ugly. When you get waived as a backup, you start to wonder how much football is left. Look, this guy should be in the league, in my opinion. I have a hard time believing there's 96 better quarterbacks on the planet. Maybe not everyone has three, so let's say it's 80 quarterbacks now. Hopefully he still has a job, but it is possible, believe it or not, that Robert Griffin is not in the league again at the start of the season.
Yeah, I bet you will be, right? So it's that, to me, is the quintessential backup. And this is what I would do is you know, I basically say, if I've got a drop back, pat the football, Drew Bledsoe kind of guy, I'll have a guy with a completely different look that comes off the bench that can help me in a small sample. Now, if you have to play him in a bigger sample, you're going to suffer for that. That's what backup quarterbacks are. That's why they're backup quarterbacks in that tier. But you could see guys come in for small amounts and succeed because the defense hasn't had a chance to prepare and all those other kinds of things, right? So you give him his own sub-package of some read option looks and a couple things like that, and I think he could do just fine. So he'll be on a roster somewhere, I would guess.
Item five in our five at five, Andy Reid and the Chiefs are very hopeful come Sunday when you and me sit down with our iced tea and our potato chips and hell of a good dip, that we'll be watching Kansas City vie for an AFC title with Pat Mahomes under center.
And you said last night that Patrick passed all the deals. Does that mean that he was or was not diagnosed with a concussion and that it was an independent doctor's decision or the team's decision not to put him back in?
Yeah, so he didn't. Yeah, he passed. But when you you still have to go through all the protocol. There's a day-to-day plan on that and how they go about it. So especially if a player staggers right there and maybe they've got to go through something. So. You know, that ends up being important.
Speaking of important, Patrick Mahomes into that offense. If he plays, they'll beat the Bills, likely, and they'll get back to the Super Bowl. If he doesn't, then Buffalo is very likely going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks.
Mahomes, come down to Chad Henne.
I think he's going to play. I mean, by most accounts, what happened was not that his head got hit and he got concussed as much as he essentially got choked out, like wrapped around the neck and something got pinched and he lost his balance and he was kind of out for a second, almost like a cage fighter, which is weird, but probably better than getting hit in the head and having to be in the protocol and not being able to pass the baseline tests. Henne came in, Danny, 6 of 8 for 66 yards, including the game icing first down throw on 4th and a foot. He did have one outrageously bad arm punt at a time when he shouldn't have been punting, frankly,
right
into the end
exactly
zone.
Right.
And so that gives you some hesitation, some trepidation about whether or not they could win with him.
Bizarre to me. That, I mean, you heard from, I almost called him Bruce Arians. It's Andy Reid. The non-answer answer there, you know, where it's like, was that means he was diagnosed? Oh, you know, there's protocol, and yeah, everybody's got to go through it, and there's steps. So hope that answers your question. What? It's so murky. It's one of those things where the rules are hard and fast. Well, maybe they're not. If it seems that he's fine. I don't know what the NFL's protocols are and how strict they are, but it would be, I mean, just given the way that looked, and of course I'm not a doctor, I'm watching at home like everybody else, but how out of it he was, if the excuse is, well, he just couldn't get oxygen to his brain, and that's why he passed out. That's also terrifying. Like, what is going on? But who knows? I bet you he plays too, and it's one of those things where we're not supposed to ask questions.
Grant and Danny on the Fan in D.C. and Richmond. That is your 5 at 5. Marty Herney coming to Washington, D.C. We're going to talk to Nick Wilson from our sister station in Charlotte. We will chat with him about whether or not Herney's track record was worthy of another opportunity. What we want to delve into next, though, is are you cool with the Panthers band being back together? You cool with just trusting Ron Rivera's process, coach-centered approach? This is what Snyder signed up for. Let him do his thing and get out of the way. Or are you like me and you're thinking, was it really that good that we had to get the band back together? Which side do you come in on, Grant and Danny?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We're still awaiting the final word. We're still awaiting confirmation from the football team, officially, that they are hiring Marty Herney. That is the report. Marty Herney was fired the first time by the Panthers when they'd gone 17-37 since their last playoff appearance in 2008 and had started the 2012 season 1-5. At that point, he got into radio. That was when a car crashed into the Essex Home Studios, I believe. And soon thereafter, he was rehired by the Panthers when they fired Dave Gettleman, Danny. And he's been in Carolina initially as an interim general manager in 17, on into 2018, 19, and most of this year before being fired in December. So twice they have moved on from him. Here's the question I want to get to, though, on the phones. Because, really, we could make this about Herney. We could make this about the Kyle Smith situation. I guess at its core, what I'm curious about, I don't know if you have the same interest in this as I do at all, or if you will kind of suffer my tomfoolery for a second.
I'll suffer your tomfoolery, sir. I will.
Here's what I want, though. I want to know if I am alone in being hesitant, worried about, just not generally endorsing the Carolina North movement. Because I think, I hate to make this binary, but I think there are basically two camps. One camp is the trust in Ron Rivera. Don't ask any questions.
And that's where I want to go, yeah.
Trust the process. Let him do his thing. Coach-centered approach. Like, I am cool with the coach-centered approach, but the guys that have the coach-centered approach thing that Snyder referenced in his press conference were like Belichick, Andy Reid. Is Ron Rivera in that category? I mean, should we stop and say, like, a coach-centered approach is a cool thing until it's Bill O'Brien. Now, I happen to think Ron Rivera is a much better head coach than Bill O'Brien. I think he's a really good head coach, in fact. But my point is, it doesn't mean it's just a good idea to have a coach-centered approach. You need a coach-centered approach where the guy that's making all the decisions is the right guy. And I think that the two camps are basically, Danny, number one, Ron Rivera should be trusted. He earned it this past season. They won the division. They were 7-9. But just let him do his thing. Whatever he does, goes. Give him 3 years. We'll reassess after that. Or then there's my side of things, which is you can have a coach-centered approach, and you don't have to hire everybody from Carolina. Like, you can surround yourself with comfortable people like every coach does every time they get hired, but it doesn't have to mean that the entire organization is, you know, is our slogan now keep pounding? Like, I think there's a happy medium that got skipped at some point. So I wonder what camp people are in, and I'd be curious if we can open up the phones to get some thoughts on that. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Basically, am I alone in my trepidation that it's not stopping? Like, it happened all offseason. Okay, you're getting yourself comfortable, whatever. We're starting the next year with a GM from Carolina now who wasn't available, or else maybe he would have been hired last offseason.
So the part that I want to hone in on, drill down on, and emphasize is the "in Ron we trust" part. That's the only response that makes anything acceptable. Now, if somebody takes over and says, trust me, okay? Somebody takes over in any walk of life, any job, and they're in charge of a lot and says, trust me. And they make a call that could go either way, and it works out. They make another call that could go either way, and it works out. And so on and so on. They put enough deposits in the bank, you go, you know what? Yep, I trust them. Absolutely 100%, I trust them. Let's go. Right behind this guy, into the breach. Whoever you want to hire, you hire. Where I think I differ from a lot of fans and a lot of people that simply say, "In Ron, we trust," is I didn't get that this year. That didn't happen for me. And some people are going to go, how could you possibly say that?
What do you mean you didn't get that? What does that mean?
Meaning he didn't put enough deposits in the bank for me to blindly trust every whim of his. Now, I'm still on a net positive. I like him a lot. I think he's a good head coach. I'm glad he's here. But the idea that I can't ask a question anymore after the season that we just had, after some decisions that I still don't quite understand, after the lack of foresight, they started a guy for 4 games that they'd eventually cut with a week to go in the year. You're telling me that was all hunky-dory and everything about that was great? There's plenty of stuff that happened that makes you scratch your head. Now, Ron Rivera dealt with a ton. He dealt with more adversity than any man should ever have to deal with at any point in life, let alone to be a head football coach. Off the field, some stuff that has nothing to do with, it was completely out of his purview, out of his control. I think he handled that stuff with flying colors and should continue to be here. I like that he's here, but the idea that we just go, "In Ron, we trust," any criticism is just hating, shut your mouth, you can't do that, I will buck against, because what we saw this year was by no means him throwing a perfect game and then, you know, the next day out shaking his catcher off. Does that make any sense? I mean, to
definitely.
Me,
you know,
this is the part that I care the most
more
about.
Too. So our buddy J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington, who does an awesome job, was on with us earlier. And he said something along the lines of, like, we signed up for this, or, you know, this is what people signed up for. Like, Dan Snyder told you this was the coach-centered approach. Well, number one, not all of us signed up for it. Like, well, I didn't make the hire.
Yeah.
I understand that this is what Dan Snyder said was going to happen, but my point is, I go back to the beginning, and I like the hire. I like Ron Rivera. I think he is a good coach. But that does not mean that there's a difference between coach-centered approach and doing whatever you want to do and whatever this has been, which is where is the new blood from anywhere other than Carolina? Like, yep. Where are the ideas that weren't Panthers' ideas? Jack Del Rio's it, and he's probably the best thing they got going for themselves. Coaching-wise right now. Now, he was the one hire. I don't really know what the background is, how that happened, how those guys linked up. I'm glad
sure they know
did.
Each other, right? Did they have connections from college
sure.
or
I mean,
something
they played
like that?
In
They've
the
known
league.
Each other.
They've
I'm
coached
sure, yeah.
forever. Of course, they know each other. But my point is, like, you're talking about a dozen assistants, the GM, the salary cap person, two people in the pro department. You interviewed one person for the job in your own building, and it wasn't the highest-ranking person in your department who was here before you. It was someone that answers to that person who came in with you. It just seems to me like it's very Panthers-centric. And while I understand that the coach-centric approach was signing up for that, so to speak, the question is fair. You referenced Belichick and Andy Reid in that press conference, Dan Snyder. I think it's reasonable to ask, is this the same thing, number one? And number two, and maybe more importantly, everybody goes and gets some of the people that they worked with. I don't know that I've seen it to this extent. Now, maybe it's nothing burger. Maybe people don't care. Maybe people are saying, and that's fine. Again, 800-636-1067. The bottom line is, they're in a better spot than they were a year ago. I really think Ron Rivera, if nothing else, is a good human being who's going to help make this organization easier to root for. You saw that already. That matters. I think he's a good coach who's an upgrade there and is a better coach than they had previously. And they've won a division in his only season. Asterisk on that because they basically had the same record they had almost every year under Jay Gruden up until the year he got fired.
So let me do this real quick. I challenge you. This is anybody out there. Tweet me at FunnyDanny, at Grant H. Paulson. Call us at 800-636-1067. I challenge you. Explain this to us. We're doing a modified version of explain, or tell me why. Explain, or someone explain to me, okay? Defend this or explain this from your point of view without having it boiled down to in Ron we trust. Right? There's got to be, if that's it, that's just not good enough. I challenge anyone to do this that with something rationale or logic that doesn't boil down to in Ron we trust. Because that's the only way to me to defend or be excited or explain away everything that is happening on the football side of things at this stage.
And for the record, someone listening could turn on the radio and go, whether they like us or they don't, they could go, what are these guys talking about? Why are they so negative? You know, they just won the division championship. And look, we had Ron Rivera on last week. I wasn't gassing him up. He did some good things. There's a reason why.
I'm a fan.
That was a positive conversation because A, they had played in a playoff game 2 days before that, I guess it was. And it was a very positive time to talk to him.
Yes,
they hadn't
yet, he's a grown-up.
Right, they hadn't yet started the GM search. If they had and we kind of knew the way they were trending, then that would have been one area where maybe it could have been, you know, a back-and-forth where you go, okay, tell us about this because this is a little bit concerning on the outside looking in. But for the most part, it is. It's deposits. It's positive. They won the division. But let's not go crazy. Like, let's not throw a party over 7-9 when the Cowboys were horrendous, the Giants were bad, and the Eagles were the worst that they have been in years. And I say this routinely, and I could go back through every game if people want me to. I'll save you the time and the annoyance. But just know, they should have been 7-9. They should have been. And maybe they should have been better. You shouldn't have lost twice to the Giants. You shouldn't have lost the game you did to the Lions. Let's say you go the other direction and say maybe they shouldn't have beaten the Steelers. Okay.
The Steelers,
then
okay.
There's still a couple of games on that ledger there. They beat the Bengals because Joe Burrow got hurt. Like, the games happened. I'm not sitting here saying they didn't. I don't want to take anything away from the team. I hope that's not what it sounds like. But there were a lot of breaks when you're playing a neutral site game against the 49ers, when you're playing the Steelers after, you know, they had 5 days off. And I don't want to be overly negative, but I only bring this up to say we should not be acting like anything's been accomplished or there's an arrival here. I don't know that that's happened yet. So that's where I say I'm not ready to just sit back and say, you know what? Enron, we trust. Whatever you do works. Like, this isn't after 2 years of McVay where you throw your hands up and go, all right, they're in the Super Bowl. This guy knows what he's doing. I'm not going to question much for a little while.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur wants something. Let's get it for him here next season.
Right.
You know what I mean? If he says, hey, GM, would you mind just plucking one of these young receivers so I don't have to throw to Matt Valdes-Scantling in a huge fourth quarter drive at some point? Please and thank you.
A guy on Twitter just tweeted me. He said, I bet your head will explode if this guy's their starter in week one. And it's a gif of Cam Newton, which is funny. That's not happening. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Oh, we trust him.
He had a hard time throwing the ball forward. It is amazing knowing what I know now, though, about just how much he apparently loved what they had going in Carolina. It's amazing they didn't roll the dice on Cam Newton.
I know.
Knowing what he did. But they did bring in Kyle Allen, and he did very quickly become their starter, in fairness, who was another of the former Panthers. And the season did end with another former Panther, Taylor Heinicke, also playing. So it's not like the quarterback room didn't feel some of this as well. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Your thoughts next. Are you on the side of things where you say, hey, you're being too negative, don't worry about this, he's got them going in the right direction, they just want a division, back off? I get that. Or the other side, which is kind of where I'm at, where you think about things like the fact that Marty Herney didn't have a lot of success and a lot of opportunities in Carolina, and that bothers you that, again, it seems like they just took the former Panthers person rather than maybe finding someone better. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Nick Wilson hosts Afternoons on WFNZ Charlotte. Covered Marty Herney with the Panthers. We'll talk to him about the GM that is reportedly coming to Washington. Right now, though, your calls at 800-636-1067 as you're locked in to Grant and Danny. Should we just sit back and watch, let Ron Rivera work? He's got a division title under his belt. Let him do his thing. Or is it okay to do what I'm doing, which is just continue to be concerned that we're getting way too many former Panthers people in here? It's not like the Panthers were the Patriots. Let's go to PJ and Reston on line 3. What's up, PJ?
Peach.
Hey, guys.
What's up,
hey, buddy? Happy 2021.
You
and,
too.
And I was going to just kind of piggyback off the Herney hire. I'm on with you guys. I think it's a high ceiling. I mean, a low floor, high ceiling. You know what I'm trying to say. The upside is not all that, but he won't be terrible. And also something you guys were mentioning about the analytics. I was kind of going with what Danny was saying, to where you don't necessarily have to go with what the person or information is saying with the analytics, but at least bring on people that are analytics smart. But one thing that's weird to me is in the NFL, I'm seeing so many times, like in the second and third quarter, that they are not looking at analytics the right way. Like, it's a, you know, they'll be down by 16 and they already start going for two, like in the second quarter. There was a Joe Buck, Troy Aikman playoff game. I think it was the Rams and Packers, where I think in the second quarter, Aikman and Buck were wondering why the Rams weren't going for two. That to me is confusing, because when they go for it too early, it's counterproductive because the other team may score a field goal. So I want analytics, but people need to use nuance and look at it the right way.
Good call, man. I like it. I just wanted to have a seat at the table. And in Washington, it has not. And this is not a step towards that in hiring Marty Herney.
Marvin's over by FedEx Field. He's in Landover. What's up, Marvin? How are you?
Yeah, I'm actually in the shadow of the field, so I can actually see it from
love
where
it.
I am right now.
I love that.
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Hey, look.
You got it, bud.
Just to think about it, when you talk about Marty Herney, I went, like, for some reason, someone put it on my Facebook feed, all his picks over the last 20 years. So I just scrolled through them, and I was like, he's a hit-and-miss type of guy, and just about the whole NFL is. The only problem I have is, it's like, The great coaches seem to be able to adapt and start changing and start really, like, you know, moving with the times. And I'm not saying that Ron Rivera isn't, but the whole point is I'm starting to get a little nervous because all he is redoing what is comfortable for him. Sooner or later, I'm looking for somebody to, like, give him a new idea and maybe take this team to another level. As I see it, they never won in Carolina. They never won. I mean, they got close because they had the ultimate weapon at quarterback. That's rare to have Cam Newton at quarterback. I don't know how anybody else.
Well, in an MVP season, remember, Marvin.
That's right.
The call.
It's amazing.
That year was a top 10 playmaker season we've ever seen. You can put Lamar Jackson last year and some of the other guys at the position as pure passers. Brady when he threw 50 touchdowns, or Manning, I think, had 55 in a year, something like that. Like, they're all on that list. But that was just craziness. They went 15-1, and I'm not going to take away from Rivera. He was unbelievable that year, and he is a good football coach. Nobody is saying otherwise. But I just think we are acting as though this was a multi-time Super Bowl champion operation in Carolina when we're bringing everybody in here. And the fact is, if you take the best and the worst out of the equation, it was mostly like a 7-win type average. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to reciprocate or duplicate that. You can obviously do better. A caller made a really good point earlier today when he said, how about Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean in Buffalo? Those guys came from Carolina. Mm-hmm. Look what they're doing. I think it's a very smart point. But I wonder how many outside opinions that they've welcomed. You know, one of the things that's always bouncing around in my head is we're trying to figure out if something went wrong. It seems like something went wrong between the Kyle Smith and Ron Rivera relationship, for Smith not to have gotten an interview, which is weird. Could it just be as simple as maybe Rivera does like people around him that say what he wants to hear, and Smith wasn't that guy? I have no idea, but it's speculative because what else do we have? Jay in St. Leonard on G&D. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, fellas. How you doing this evening?
Good, man.
I'm going to help you out to feel a little bit better. Stop some of that hand-wringing and turn them frowns upside down. This wasn't just a good hire by Ron Rivera, and I'm assuming he's the guy that made the call on the hire. It was a great hire, and for several reasons. First off, if you could go back over the last, well, we've gone 30 years with Vinny and Bruce, so, you know, we've had no good perspectives for our owner. We've had no one to kind of give him a little bit of actual football insight for a long time. If you told me that we could hire a GM that over the next 10 years would go to the Super Bowl twice, I think you'd be pretty happy here in Washington, wouldn't you?
Well, you certainly would. I'm going to let you jump because your phone sounds a little muffled. So the point is, you're 100% right. It's better than what we've had. And Grant and I both said that from Jump Street. It's like, let's, you know, if a girl dates me and then goes on to Chris Hemsworth, yeah, that's much better. But if a girl dates me and then goes on to, like, a regular average guy, it's better, but is it Chris Hemsworth? No. And that's kind of the point that we're making here. You got a chance at a home run, and you were like, let's sacrifice bunt to make sure the runner gets moved up. That's how it feels. And he had some success talking about Herney, without a doubt. Without a doubt, he had some success. He hasn't really had any since 2008. That's pretty important to me.
Isn't there also just something to be said for maybe the best person for this job was the guy that we all assumed was going to get it, who you've already worked with two times? But that's pretty coincidental. No, maybe the best strength coach, and by the way, their training staff did a great job this year, but maybe that was the guy that you worked with for years in Carolina. It's also pretty coincidental. Maybe the best this coach and that coach and the best cap guy, all of these things that they are hiring and all of the things that they've done, yeah, maybe all of those best options just so happen to be the guy that he'd already worked with, that he already knew. But that's pretty coincidental at some point. We're going to ask Nick Wilson about this coming up in just a couple of minutes. He does radio in Charlotte. He covered Marty Herney. You're locked into Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan in D.C. and in Richmond.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ron of Grant and Danny, your bonus half hour of your pals with you until 6:30 tonight. Remember, at 6:45 pregame, and then in the 7 o'clock hour right here on The Fan, Washington Capitals hockey as they look for win number 3 in 4 games on the young season. Out of a possible 6 points, they have garnered 5, having lost in a shootout to the Penguins on Sunday. Stung a little bit going down, stung the nostrils, but perhaps can make amends this evening in Pittsburgh. Danny, I'm doing one of the oldest guy things that I've ever done during the show.
I love it. Tell me everything.
Oldest guy move, arguably, that I have ever done in the history of Grant and Danny. And that's not in the 2 week or so history of Drive Time. That's dating back to show number 1 on January 6th, 2014 in middays. I want you to take a guess. What is the old guy move that I am doing right now?
How could I possibly know? Let me see. You're tucking in your shirt to your pants and underwear because you're a little bit chilly.
All right, that's a great guess. That's not what I'm doing. I now want to bring Jim Mullins onto the show. Jimbo, I want you to get a guess. I'm doing the oldest man thing that I have ever done during a radio show right now. What do you think I'm doing?
Grant, is it possible you're drinking buttermilk?
Wow, okay. That's an old man thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not drinking
buttermilk.
Do old
folks do that, by the way? Just a quick. This is legit asking.
My grandpa
did. Is that an old
did.
Person thing? He drank buttermilk?
He drank buttermilk.
People do that?
I've never even seen buttermilk. I don't know what buttermilk is. All right, I want one more guess from you, Danny. I'm doing the oldest thing that I've ever done while we broadcasted a show live. What am I doing exactly?
You are, it's something involving Werther's Original, and you've like found Werther's Original candies, and you're cracking one open to have a nice Werther's Original suckle as soon as the show ends.
That is incorrect. What I'm doing is I've gotten my massager from upstairs, and I've put it in my chair, and I'm currently massaging my lower back with my massager while we do a radio show.
You have a massage gun or like a massage seat?
No, it's like one of these little things that you just press against your back. You know, you can buy them online and they just like prop up against the back of a chair.
I got the massage gun and it is a game changer. Lifesaver for an elder gentleman like myself.
I'm 32 going on 77, man. Just massaging my back while we do the show. All right, let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome onto the program a several-time guest and a buddy of ours who does a great job on the radio in Charlotte, Nick Wilson, who just got done with his show, so he's working a little overtime for us, which is kind of him because he just did drive time on WFNZ. Nick, we appreciate a couple of minutes. You know why we're calling and bugging you. Marty Herney is going to be the general manager, reportedly, here in Washington. How should we feel about that?
Well, first off, congrats on the new gig, guys. Proud of you. Always love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
How do we feel about average GMs getting their third job at the NFL? Listen, Marty is, can I give you all the good things? He's a great guy. I mean, what a mensch, what a personality of this Marty Herney. You're going to love him on the radio. And he's an average GM. And also, did I mention he's a good guy?
You did mention he's a good guy, which
good guy.
I like, because there was a GM here before. Well, we won't get into that. But the average GM, can we delve into that? Because there are some hits. You know, I was talking to someone earlier. They said, well, he drafted Julius Peppers. He drafted Cam Newton. Well, no disrespect. I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of scouting that went into that. Julius Peppers went 2 after David Carr, and Cam Newton went 1-1. Those are hits. Those are wins. But, like, let's not build a resume off of that. Average, break that down for me.
So, Marty Herney, the big thing with Marty Herney is he's done pretty well with first-round picks. Even recently here, you can point to Brian Burns and DJ Moore. His guys, Jeremy Chin was a second-round pick, but Derek Brown, really good first-round picks. The problem has come in rounds 2 through 7 and how he has utilized undrafted free agency. The problems have come in salary cap machinations, and I would also offer, I also don't think he's done a great job of roster construction. So people who love Marty in this town will tell you about Julius Peppers and Cam and Burnsy and you know, first-round picks. People who I think are a little bit more critical will tell you that's like the one thing he's done really well, and I really think the roster construction and how he didn't construct the roster the last 2 years with Cam and certainly this year are what ended up doing him in here.
Nick, now he inherits Gettleman's roster in 17. That's the last good season that Carolina has had, right? That it's better than anything Washington's done in, you know, I don't know, 30 years. So I'm not sneezing at an 11-5 record, but that's Gettleman's roster going 11-5. Why hasn't this organization won in a significant way with Marty Herney in charge since 2008 when they went 12-4?
So I'm going to give him one thing I will give him is Cam Newton's body broke down. So that was a big issue that sunk the Carolina Panthers and certainly Ron Rivera here in Carolina. What I would say was Marty Herney's biggest failure, and I would even extend this to Ron to some level, was the inability to secure a quality backup for Cam. And they kind of just went heavy on veterans they liked instead of building a young, dynamic roster that when Cam did go down with injuries or when he did play through injuries was good enough to bridge the divide from when Cam was playing better and being the best iteration of himself. So that's really what I see is how things fell apart for both Ron and Marty here.
Nick Wilson, who does Afternoon Drive in Charlotte on WFNZ, is with us on Grant and Danny. Can you explain or go back through the machinations on, so he's there, he's fired, and then he's brought back by the same guy that fired him. You just don't see that. Like, how did that work? Why was he fired in 12? Why was he brought back when he was in 17?
So this is the great irony of Jerry Richardson as an owner, who legally I don't want to get into too much here because Jerry was a can of worms. But I'm sure you guys know that feeling. But in 2012, he was fired because he was reckless with a cap, and it came back to hurt the Panthers in a huge, huge way. And they had one too many bad seasons in a row, and between the cap hell they were in and losing, Jerry Richardson got fed up and fired who might have been his best friend in the building. And the way that Marty got back was Brandon Bean left in left basically early in the offseason, the year that they fired Gettleman. Gettleman wouldn't re-sign Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen because they were old and he thought they were falling off a cliff. And so Jerry Richardson fired him and hired Marty Herney, who was more than happy to oblige in giving out what ended up being two bad contracts for the Carolina Panthers. So Marty's willingness to fall on bended knee to Jerry was why Marty got hired for the second gig.
Nick, one of the things I read was that the when you look at new ownership Tepper and Marty not getting along, that Tepper was like, hey, how about some of the information that's available to us? We use that, analytics, numbers, those sorts of things. I know that football is run by guys like the Oklahoma drill and headbutting walls and all that other kind of stuff. But to me, I'd welcome all the different things at the table. If Herney didn't like it, he leaves. Does that mean we can look forward to Deshaun Foster and D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart and a quarter of our salary cap at running back here? I mean, is that something that – was it that dramatic at the end there for Herney?
If you're asking me if Marty Herney is a old-school football cowboy, the answer is yes. Yeah. I mean –
By the way,
that's the nicest way I've put it. I put it on air in a much more terse way, and they weren't happy with me, so I'm being nice this time. Yeah, I mean, Marty, I'm sure you guys have noticed this with Ron. Ron is a no-nonsense. Football's been played the same way for 50 years, and the way I learned it under Mike Ditka is going to be essentially the same way we try and play. And math is for nerds. And I think Marty Herney very much, I think Marty Herney is a guy who has been a get-along guy his entire career. And that's why he survived. That's why he's getting a third gig. But it felt like, it was like Meatloaf's song, I would do anything for love, what I won't do for that. He would do anything for football and to draw a paycheck, but he wouldn't listen to math nerds. That was just one step too far. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that.
And by the way, I'm all in on David Tepper. I don't know what your guys' reviews of him is down there. You can fill me in. But I like the rule hire, but I like that he's moving toward analytics. And one of the reasons, is from my understanding, that Herney was out this year, I mean, maybe the hourglass started ticking on him the moment they hired Rule, was, it seems like, his inability to even want to kind of keep up, to adjust. You know, you either do that or eventually you become a dinosaur, and it doesn't seem like he had any interest in their analytical movement.
The way I think about it is that Marty Herney really likes a traditional marriage, right? He's gonna go out and he's gonna make the hay, and then, you know, Matt Rhule is the coach, he's gonna cook it up. And what I think Dave Tepper wants was much more of an open marriage. You know, he wanted a room full of really smart people whom all kind of have the same power, but more leading up to the head coach, with Matt Rhule really kind of being the guy who has final say on everything. And I think, again, I think Marty was comfortable with a lot of different ways to go ahead and be part of an organization. But after all this time in the organization, and maybe just the dude had to make, you know, in working with Dave Tepper and Jerry Richardson, he has had to make, and this is in deference to Marty, like, I mean this in the best way, the guy's had to make a lot of ego sacrifices to work for these two very distinct, very different, but very powerful and egotistical guys. I think Marty finally just got to a point where he said, you know, I got a pretty good feeling about what might happen in Washington, and I'm kind of sick of doing the thing of being the guy that says, oh, yeah, I'm Marty, I'll take the shot here because that's what's expected of me. I think part of him just got sick of being the get-along guy.
What's the relationship like? We know it's good, but in terms of him calling Rivera when he doesn't like something or maybe butting heads with him on a player eval, I mean, is he just going to say yes, or is there a comfort there where he might be able to challenge him on some things?
So I wouldn't be surprised if they speak enough of the same language that this is going to be pretty seamless for them. I think the interesting thing to watch, guys, is in every scenario that Marty and Ron have faced together, The first time they had Jerry Richardson, who was kind of a meddling owner, former football player, thought he, you know, fancied himself as a different version of Jerry Jones. And they learned to work together where it wasn't just what Ron wanted or Marty wanted. They had to kind of give over to Big Jer and Big Cat quite a bit. And I think the same thing happened with Dave Tepper. So what's fascinating to me is, depending on what role Dan Snyder decides to take within this marriage, is for the first time, these guys don't seem to have to placate to anyone but themselves. And that's a dynamic shift that I don't think is like earth-shattering or bothersome, but it is absolutely something different. Unless Dan Snyder just decides, you know what, I need to be a bothersome owner, and then it's going to be like old times. Then it's basically an old sitcom format that they've used time and time again.
Nick, the thing I'm wondering is why nobody else called. This is the part that just leaves me so underwhelmed and so uninspired by this hire. He's been available multiple times over, and it's either, you know, his old buddy Ron Rivera or his old buddy, somebody, you know, where he knows all the roads go in Carolina. Why did anyone else call? Why was nobody else interested? Did he have other offers? Was he a candidate at times, at least?
Well, I hadn't heard of any other offer. As a matter of fact, when Ron got fired last year and took the Washington job, the big to-do was, well, you know, if you don't extend Marty, Washington could go ahead and make him the GM, which wasn't a threat to anyone in Carolina who saw Marty Herney's GMing. So I think it was Washington or bust, guys. I think it's really interesting. Same. You know, Buffalo has kind of become Carolina North. I thought it was really interesting that we didn't hear anything about Brandon Bean reaching out. He's got Joe Schoen there, who's a former Panther guy. Dan Morgans, who's the former middle linebacker. He's got former Panthers out the wazoo, and I haven't heard hide nor hair of Buffalo, Carolina North, even calling and saying, hey, would you like to come here being part of the brain trust? I'm 100% with you guys. I thought it was befuddling. And not just that. Even the candidates we saw Ron talk to, it just felt like they were looking for enough guys to say we tried, but that this was all Marty or bust. And I can't figure out for the life of me why a legitimate organization would do that.
Nick Wilson Says is the Twitter account. Go follow him and check out his content. He does a great job on WFNZ in Charlotte. Nick, great having you on again, man. Thanks for the info. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, gentlemen. Anytime you need me, you got me.
Thank
Appreciate you,
Nick.
You, brother. We'll give you a shout and keep up the good work down south. The market, Charlotte, where all of Washington's employees come from. So the next time they hire someone, we'll have to call Nick and get the latest on how they fare. Hey, want to put a bow on this, and I want to touch on something serious before we get out of here.
Okay.
So your final thought on Herney, maybe that conversation with Nick.
Not a glowing endorsement, right? It's hard to sort of to be excited about this other than sort of a shoulder shrug and say, well, you know, you got Ron Rivera in charge of everything. That means Ron Rivera's in charge of everything. So he's going to pick guys that he's comfortable with. And that sort of ties that up in a bow. But it's hard to be excited kind of given the rep, given his resistance to, some of the new age, the numbers and new information and the like. He knows football. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of people do that don't make great GMs.
My guess is that this is a move Rivera makes because you – grow in power with this move. Obviously, you're hiring the GM, so no one that you hire necessarily is going to be able to tell you no. You're not answering to whoever you would have hired. But this is a move where I think you bring in a guy and he kind of knows the score. You just heard Nick say that he gets along pretty well and he's going to do what he has to do to kind of appease Ron Rivera. I think he's going to call the shots. We knew that. It's the coach-centric approach that Dan Snyder talked about. It's his show, and it became more his show when they agreed with Marty Herney, if in fact this happens, that he's going to be the next GM, and that is the report today that Herney's going to be the guy. My issue is that oftentimes the head coach being all-powerful doesn't work. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it does not, and you really got to be careful when you start to put all that power in one person's desk, Bill O'Brien style, and I guess my thought was when they hired a GM, maybe it would just be someone who is a little bit more traditional as a scout, as an evaluator, less administrative, less paperwork, some of those things. But it sounded like when Rivera was on our show last week that that was the way he was going, that this was not going to be just a, you know, watch the film, tell me what you think of these players' role. And Herney, who did other things like the salary cap in Carolina, will probably help in some of those regards here in Washington. Hey, on the way out, I wanted to mention this. I saw this a little over an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Sutton announced that his father passed away, Don Sutton.
Don Sutton, Hall
of Famer. He served, people may forget this, he was on the Nats broadcasts as the color commentator in 2007 and in 2008 for Masson when they first came to Washington, D.C. And that was kind of my first introduction, weirdly enough, to Don Sutton as a young guy. He was a Hall of Fame pitcher, unbelievable pitcher, four-time All-Star, won an ERA title, was an MVP of an All-Star game. You look at some of the black ink on Baseball Reference. This is a guy who led the league in a plethora of categories, whip, I think, four times, hits per nine, home runs per nine, strikeouts to walks three different times. Really, really good pitcher. But I got to know him a little bit just as a broadcaster over the years, having him on shows on MLB Network Radio. He's been calling Braves games up until
forever.
Now, you know, he I didn't realize. I mean, he lived a lot younger than he was, 75 years old. But that one hit me hard when I saw that. You know, sometimes you just get punched in the stomach, and these are people you barely know, you meet in passing, you talk to a few times, and you feel like you know them. But Don Sutton's one of those guys, not only because he called Nats games on TV, but I can't tell you how many innings of Braves baseball I heard him call over the years.
Yeah, I met him once at Nats Park, and I hadn't seen that, so thanks for bringing it to my attention. America got to know him. Dude, I'm not kidding you, millions of people heard him and Skip Carey calling games on TBS. The entire eastern seaboard, the southeast entire part of the country, you saw more Braves games on cable television than you did Orioles games growing up, just because TBS was ubiquitous. And a 405 star, Tommy Glavine, will be opposed by Kent Boddicker. Like, you saw that a billion times. And Don Sutton was synonymous there. I think he started, I want to say, 89 or 90. He was calling TBS games all the time for and did it forever and was just great at it. And, you know, anytime my dad would wander into the room when TBS was on, he just would shake his head and just remember how great a pitcher that Sutton was. And I, of course, never saw him pitch, but, you know, he said, you don't understand how nasty that dude was, how great that guy was as a pitcher. So rest in peace. What a career, what a life.
He's part of a club that I think will never have another person added to it, and that's the 300 win club. I don't think we'll ever see anybody win 300 games again in Major League Baseball. The active leaders right now, Bartolo Colon, and I don't even know that he's active technically.
Is he active?
He's retired, theoretically, at 47, I think, years old. 247 wins. Justin Verlander, 226. Zach Greinke, 208. And John Lester, who just signed with the Nats. We talked about that today, with 193, the top four. But that was tough to hear. And
bummer.
Rest in peace, thinking about the Suttons. That's tough. We are closing in on another weekend of football. Championship Sunday coming up this weekend. We'll have full breakdowns as we continue this week. Bucks Packers and Bills Chiefs, your early and late games on Sunday. Danny, it was fun as always, my friend.
Always a pleasure to do. I'm going to find out in mere moments what I'm eating for dinner. The anticipation is killing me. I'm excited.
I didn't ask you because I didn't want you to tell me you didn't know.
I just
live
don't
on the
know.
Radio.
I have no idea.
For Danny and Tom and Jim behind the scenes, much appreciate all of you guys listening. We're back at it tomorrow on G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.